welcome to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. I am not an expert. I'm just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice. And what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we were joined by MS community member Carmen Lucia, an expert on food allergies who recently released an impressive book on the topic called Allergy: Menus, Recipes, and Techniques. I hope you enjoyed learning about Carmen and how food allergies and sensitivities are related to our MS health. Today, we're going to learn about red light therapy as a healing tool we can use to alleviate a number of our MS symptoms. For our gratitude today, I welcome you into my garden for a moment, where I'm sitting as I prepare my notes for this episode. It's late in October, leaves are starting to change here, and there's a crispness in the air I haven't felt since April. When I look up from my laptop, I see a row of leaning sunflower stalks that are nearing the end of their season. In fact, all of the main sunflowers are long gone. They're dried seeds, fully eaten by the birds. They're usually somewhat depressing to look at since they are the last bright blooms of the season. Except this year, there's something really odd happening. On six of the stalks, multiple secondary blooms have appeared along the stems. In all my years of growing sunflowers, I have never experienced this before with single bloom sunflowers. And yet here we are. Now, these secondary blooms are significantly smaller and many are quite deformed, yet they are beautiful in their own way and have provided me with a timely reminder to look for the unexpected beauty in life when I'm struggling to find it. My inner circle has been rife with strife as of late. While I won't share specifics, since you likely have enough hardship on your own plate, I will say that seeing these blooms appear off of what looked like thoroughly dead stems has helped me to remember that even during tough times, there is still reason to bloom and to smile. Sometimes we can gratefully be soothed by nature, like these unexpected secondary sunflower blooms are soothing me today. And sometimes we can create the blooms, so they'll be there when we need them most. My annual fall bulb shipment arrived last week, and since we had an unexpected extension of hot weather, they are chilling in the fridge, and I'll start planting them this coming weekend. If you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about my annual ritual of planting bulbs this time of year as an investment in my future happiness. While digging several hundred holes is no small feat, it's so worth it when they start to bloom in the spring. And after years of doing this, I've slowly expanded each flower type's bloom season by planting early, middle, and late season varieties. This is how I assure myself there will always be something new in the garden every day. And this excitement is what gets me out of bed and outside into the early morning light each morning, which consequently has significantly helped me solidify my circadian rhythm and improve my restorative sleep. So, I invite you this year to consider planting seeds with me, literal or figurative, in your life. What we plant now will grow over time for us to harvest later. In addition to planting bulbs right now, I'm also planting seeds of financial wellness by reading I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. And after a long summer and early fall of travel and entertaining, I'm recommitting myself to some of my health and wellness routines that have suffered a bit from our lack of structure. Creating this episode today has also helped me recommit to using red light therapy on a daily basis as a health supporting tool. By planting these seeds of change and carefully cultivating their growth as they take root, I'm already grateful for the bountiful harvest I will experience this winter and beyond. If you are similarly planting seeds in your life right now, I'd love for you to share at our flock meeting this coming weekend. If you're not yet a member but would like to be, please join us by visiting our Patreon page. Okay, let's dive into our learning about red light therapy. We'll start with the basics. What is red light therapy and how does it work? Red light therapy, RLT, which is also known as low-level laser therapy, LLLT, or photobiomodulation, involves exposing our skin and near-skin tissues to low-level wavelengths of red light. This light penetrates our skin and interacts with our cells, primarily targeting our mitochondria, which are our energy producers that live within our cells. When red light is absorbed by our mitochondria, it stimulates the mitochondria to produce more adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, which is the energy-creating compound in our cells. Red light therapy has anti-inflammatory properties that can help us to reduce painful swelling. Red light therapy also improves our blood circulation. As our circulation increases, our blood is better able to deliver oxygen and other essential nutrients to our body tissues, which aids in repair and function. Red light therapy also encourages collagen production. Collagen is a protein that supports overall skin health, including minimizing wrinkles and aging skin, wound healing, and the repairing of joints. Through these various enhancements at the cellular level, red light therapy can help us with pain management and muscle recovery, wound healing, and a variety of skin conditions, fatigue and energy production, and even mood enhancement. If you're like me, I experience a lot of these symptoms as someone living with MS. And this is why I've spent the last 2 years experimenting with red light therapy and researching its effectiveness as more and more studies are released over time. So let's take a moment to look a little closer at specifically how red light therapy might help us. While trials studying red light therapy for specifically MS are still somewhat limited, during my research, I was pleased to find growing interest in this therapy. So let's all keep our eyes and ears open as more and more is discovered over time. As of now, the emerging research specific to MS is mostly around using red light therapy for fatigue management, and early studies show promising results. This is predominantly because of red light therapy's anti-inflammatory properties and its ability to stimulate cellular energy production of our mitochondria to reduce those fatigue levels. Study participants also noted a reduction in pain and muscle weakness. This makes sense since MS is an autoimmune disease characterized by inflammation of our central nervous system. And since red light therapy reduces inflammation, well, reducing inflammation can help our bodies to do a lot of things. One, better modulate nerve function, reduce neuropathic pain, and potentially stimulate nerve regeneration. In managing leg neuropathy, study participants have reported alleviation of symptoms such as pain, numbness, and tingling. Red light therapy makes it easy to target the specific areas we're experiencing neuropathic pain. Two, we can improve muscle strength and function through tissue repair and reduce muscle stiffness and spasticity, all of which are common challenges for those of us living with MS. This neuroprotective effect may also potentially slow the overall progression of our MS, and with the improvement of symptoms, it may even help us reduce our dependence on a variety of pharmaceuticals and supplements. Red light therapy is also showing promise in the area of mood enhancement. Since a high percentage of us experience depression or anxiety at some point, it might be worth exploring red light therapy to help improve those aspects of our well-being. Because red light therapy increases serotonin and dopamine, more of these quote-unquote feel-good chemicals can help support a healthier mood profile. Since chronic inflammation is linked with mood disorders, it makes sense how red light therapy can help us in this area. And since better sleep is often directly correlated with better mood, it's possible that red light therapy can also help contribute to better sleep patterns. There is also emerging data that shows red light therapy can be used to support gut health. Since we live with multiple sclerosis, we can pretty much assume that our gut microbiome could use some extra support, and that it's highly likely we have some level of leaky gut. While research is still ongoing in this area, since red light therapy reduces inflammation and many gut issues are linked to inflammation, it makes sense that red light therapy's anti-inflammatory properties could help to soothe the digestive tract. And with improved blood circulation, as we previously discussed, when we get better blood flow in our gut, that results in better nutrient absorption and more efficient waste removal. Specific gut conditions that have been or are currently being studied in terms of red light therapy are irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS. By reducing gut inflammation and improving gut motility, red light therapy may be an option for reducing IBS symptoms. It's also been shown promising in inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD. Again, by reducing gut inflammation, it's possible to alleviate the symptoms of IBD and reduce the frequency and intensity of flares. It's also been shown promising with leaky gut syndrome. The anti-inflammatory properties can help reduce intestinal permeability. It's also been shown to help other stress-related digestive issues. Since red light therapy helps to reduce stress, the positive effects may indirectly benefit digestion and reduce the prevalence of stress-related digestive symptoms. Now, just like we each have our own unique manifestation of MS, the same is true of our effective solution pathways. So the effectiveness of red light therapy can vary from person to person. As with the consideration of adding any new complementary therapy to our toolbox, it's important to talk with our healthcare provider about our interest in trying red light therapy. That said, red light therapy is considered a very safe treatment when used as directed, as long as we follow guidelines set in place by our doctor, as well as product manufacturer guidelines for users. And as with any intervention, regular red light therapy sessions are often necessary to experience optimal results. While red light therapy is not a cure for MS or any other condition, it can be a very helpful supportive therapy in helping to minimize symptoms and make some root cause improvements to our overall health. As is often the case, my research for episodes leads me in unexpected directions, and red light therapy is no exception. Sometimes research illuminates connections I hadn't thought of. So I thought I'd share a few of the tangential research avenues I explored for this episode as an effort to better understand how I might be able to use red light therapy to benefit my health in additional ways, and I'll also add some additional context to some of the areas I previously mentioned. Red light therapy might be useful to aid in sinus drainage. I researched this connection because last winter, when I simultaneously had my first COVID experience along with another respiratory virus, I was really struggling with symptoms of sinusitis. You might not know that sinusitis is very common amongst folks like us with neuroinflammatory conditions. In fact, while it's likely no doctor has ever mentioned it, the vast majority of us will have some acknowledgement of sinusitis stated on our MRI reports. We can actually have sinusitis without even knowing it. And when we have a respiratory illness, sinusitis typically worsens with the increased inflammatory response. So, last winter when I was sick, I was pretty miserable. And while my oxygen levels remained okay, I was struggling to breathe deeply and comfortably. Since I had been using red light therapy to help with managing inflammation and pain for a torn hamstring, on a whim, one night, I used my red light therapy device on my throat and sinuses to see if it might help ease my breathing. It did. And in fact, I could feel the drainage happening after just a few minutes. While I wasn't able to find definitive information about this, I was able to find that this was a reasonable relief to experience based on red light therapy's ability to reduce sinus inflammation and improve circulation, both of which can help loosen mucus and promote drainage. So keep this tip in mind this winter if you end up getting sick and experience airway inflammation. Red light therapy can be used for immediate acute pain relief. Most emerging data shows that most people won't generally feel red light therapy working immediately, as the results are typically subtle and cumulative over time. As I mentioned, I was using red light therapy to promote healing and pain relief of my torn hamstring last year. This was a high hamstring tear where the hamstring attaches to our sitting bone. It was incredibly painful, and this injury took 10 months of intensive physical therapy to repair. And during this time, the pain and spasms were so intense that I couldn't sleep laying down, or even lay down long enough to do my annual MRI, which had to be postponed until I could manage laying down for a short period of time. At physical therapy, the technician regularly used an ultrasound device at the end of my workout prior to icing and using a TENS unit to aid in muscle recovery. With the ultrasound device, I could actually feel the muscle relaxing. Since I experienced a similar sensation using the red light therapy device at home, I wanted to research this more to better understand it. Apparently, most of what I was feeling was likely the warmth of the device and a sense of relaxation and release due to the reduced inflammation, more so than immediate therapeutic effects. Yet, I also found numerous reports of professional athletes who use red light therapy regularly who also reported feeling the muscle relax along with a noticeable reduction in pain during the treatment, reporting a melting sensation. So, while some of us may be able to feel red light therapy working, for most it may take a number of sessions to yield noticeable relief. Red light therapy for tinnitus. Another debilitating symptom that I experience on a daily basis is tinnitus. While cranial sacral therapy has helped with this immensely over the years, I still have continuous tinnitus with moments of increased tonal intensity. Since it's fairly widely understood that chronic inflammation is often a contributing factor to a variety of ear problems, including tinnitus, I spent some time researching this as well. There's still more that is unknown than known about tinnitus, and it's important to acknowledge that correlation does not necessarily mean causation. So even when there may be a potential relationship between symptoms and treatments, it takes time to establish a truly reliable connection. This is an area I will continue to research, and while doing so, since there's no harm, I will keep using my red light therapy device to see if I can induce some lasting relief. In terms of what I could find, since red light therapy has some neuroprotective properties, reduces inflammation, and improves blood circulation, these improvements can benefit our auditory system and have the potential to have a positive impact on conditions like tinnitus. Since there's also potential indirect connections between tinnitus and parasites, and we know parasites can disrupt gut health and lead to increased inflammation throughout the body and trigger an immune response, and that there are some folks living with MS, like Pam Bartha, who have strong evidence-based experiences tying their MS symptoms to parasites. So this is another area I'm currently researching. And as a side note, as more data is shared about Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, and its possible connections with MS, that's another area of ongoing research. Based on current studies, red light therapy cannot kill Epstein-Barr virus because viruses like EBV are pathogens that operate differently in the body. However, there are some potential indirect benefits since reducing inflammation and boosting healthy immune function might indirectly help with managing the many symptoms associated with the reactivation of EBV. And those improvements can help our body better manage EBV viral loads. Back to tinnitus, I'll also acknowledge that my tinnitus might not at all be connected to my MS, since things like noise exposure, ear injuries, medications, or other underlying health conditions can also contribute to tinnitus. In terms of using red light therapy for tinnitus relief, I've experienced enough relief to keep trying it. And if anyone listening has any helpful research or personal anecdotal experiences to share, I would love to hear from you. Let's also talk about red light therapy for alleviating menstrual cramps. This is one area that I was able to find a fair amount of supporting evidence. Red light therapy used over the abdomen can reduce the inflammation in the uterine lining, which is what causes cramping. Using red light therapy to similarly increase the blood flow in the pelvic region can help relax surrounding muscles and reduce pain. To experience the most relief, it's suggested we begin to use red light therapy several days prior to when our period starts and continue to use it throughout our cycle. For menstrual cramp relief, red light therapy can be used in tandem to complement other pain relief methods like heating pads or over-the-counter pain relievers. Let's talk about red light therapy for leaky gut. Red light therapy has shown itself to be a supportive tool in managing leaky gut. It can alleviate symptoms by reducing inflammation and improving overall gut health. Red light therapy focused on our abdomen skin above where our intestines are located, when combined with a healthy, mostly plant-based diet, can make a big difference. Also important is successful stress management, since stress drastically exacerbates gut issues. There is also some evidence that red light therapy can lead to modest weight loss when combined with a healthy diet through improved metabolism, since red light therapy may stimulate cellular metabolism and therefore aid in burning fat. Let's talk about red light therapy for allodynia. For longtime listeners, you know that allodynia is one of the 10 types of pain, and it's a painful response to what normally would be a painless stimulus. For example, when our skin hurts when gently touched by a soft fabric or a feather. This type of pain is not uncommon for those of us with autoimmune conditions like MS or fibromyalgia, amongst others. There's strong evidence here that red light therapy can help by targeting affected areas. Reduced inflammation and improved blood circulation reduces the pain response, since inflammation contributes to pain sensitivity. I sure wish I had known about red light therapy way back when I was regularly suffering with allodynia. I hope that if you are currently experiencing allodynia, that it's short-lived for you and that tools like red light therapy can help alleviate the discomfort. Red light therapy can also be used for edema. Edema is caused by fluid buildup, and it's not uncommon to experience edema with systemic inflammation. So far, research shows that red light therapy is a promising aid for edema management, given that it reduces inflammation and improves our blood circulation, which allows the fluids to move throughout our body more efficiently. Fluid movement is also enhanced through the promotion of tissue repair that we can experience through red light therapy stimulation. When combined with other strategies like compression socks, it's possible to enhance our healing. Over the course of my lifetime and 40 years of playing soccer, I repeatedly sprained my right ankle. As a result, every so often, I get light swelling. This is mostly now prevented by specific ankle exercises provided by my physical therapist that keep the swelling down and an anti-inflammatory diet. But now that I know red light therapy can help, I'm adding it to my preventative protocol. Why not? While there's still much to be explored regarding the effectiveness of red light therapy, there is enough convincing evidence that red light therapy can benefit those of us living with MS, lupus, inflammatory bowel disease, and rheumatoid arthritis. Red light therapy works best in combination with other treatments than as a standalone solution. So, if you want to try red light therapy, how do we get started? And how do we do it? It's important to note that the effectiveness of red light therapy is highly dependent on the quality of the device and the wavelength of light that is emitted. It's largely encouraged to start with professional treatments. Many spas and wellness centers and even gyms offer red light therapy as one of their many services. It's quite common for physical therapists to utilize red light therapy as part of their treatment and recovery plans. Some medical offices may incorporate red light therapy, so talking with your doctors and other care providers is a great place to start. If you're comfortable experimenting on your own, there are a wide range of at-home devices available online or at specialty stores, ranging from handheld devices to large panels. There are a number of aspects really important to know prior to using any red light therapy device. First, you want to make sure the device you choose is safe and emits the correct wavelengths. Ideally, we want our device to emit red light at 630 to 850 nanometers and near infrared light at 700 to 1000 nanometers for optimal penetration. Higher power output generally provides deeper penetration, but higher powers can also potentially be more harmful. So choosing the right balance for us and our unique needs and risk profile is important. The penetration depth of red light therapy devices varies a lot depending on the wavelength used, and in general can penetrate the skin a few millimeters, while infrared light can penetrate much deeper, to several centimeters or more. The effectiveness of red light therapy is not solely determined by the penetration depth, as other factors, such as treatment duration and regularity, light intensity, and our individual skin response all play a role. We also want to be sure the device we choose has low EMF emissions to minimize potential risks. Look for certifications like FDA or CE approval, since those adhere to more stringent safety standards. I also read a really interesting article providing data that showed benefit to surrounding tissues and even body systems that were out of measurable reach of red light therapy devices, indicating that positive cellular changes occurring in a localized area as a direct result of red light therapy may be able to create healing conditions in other areas of the body, having a positive systemic effect on the body. It's believed that this is possible because of the increased ATP production, release of nitric oxide, increase of oxygen consumption, and even cell signaling. Numerous studies showed these cellular benefits were not limited to the cells directly treated with red light therapy, so metabolic mediators are at play, creating systemic, or what's called bystander, effects. Systemic influences that significantly enhance our healing processes include improved circulation and lymph movement, immune cell modulation, microbiome modulation, which in turn can affect our immune system and brain, upregulation and release of stem cells into our bloodstream, and stimulation of the mitochondria, not only confined to our cells, but also in our bloodstream. What this means is that by using red light therapy on one localized area of our body, especially if we use a high-quality device that combines both red and near-infrared light, that we can expect to experience activation of multiple systemic mechanisms to promote healing throughout our body. How cool is that? When choosing a device, we should choose a device that best meets our needs depending on which area we're trying to treat. For example, for larger areas, panel-style devices offer more coverage and are often more powerful, while handheld devices are more portable and convenient to target smaller treatment areas. Many spas or treatment centers have red light therapy rooms or stalls where you can get a full body treatment. Many physical therapy offices will have smaller handheld devices meant to target particular areas of rehabilitation. Be sure to research brand reputation and customer reviews so you can obtain reassurance of reliability and effectiveness. While price may be a limiting factor, a higher quality device with lower EMF emissions are a wise investment choice. Popular brands of red light therapy devices include, but aren't limited to, Current Body, Vital Charge, Mito Red Light, Platinum LED, Life Pro, Best Cool, and Huga. I have three devices that I'll bring to this month's flock meeting to share if folks are interested in seeing them and hearing my thoughts about how each of them has been working for me. Remember to consult with your doctor or healthcare professional prior to purchasing any at-home device to ensure it's a good fit for your unique medical needs and profile. The recommended frequency of red light therapy sessions varies quite a bit depending on our specific goals, the severity of our symptoms, and the type of red light therapy device we're using. For acute conditions, more frequent sessions are recommended, especially if we're using a handheld device rather than a large panel. For skin conditions and wound healing, the general recommendation is to use red light therapy 5 to 7 times per week for 10 to 20 minutes per session. For pain relief, the general recommendation is to use red light therapy 2 to 3 times per week for 20 to 30 minutes per session. It's important to adjust these general recommendations with your care provider and carefully consider both what you are treating and the specific device recommendations. Like all treatments, red light therapy doesn't work if left on the shelf. Consistency is key if optimal results are desired, and we should always keep in mind that while complementary therapies can be very beneficial and alleviate many of our symptoms, symptoms may not be completely eliminated for everyone, so maintaining realistic expectations is important. Red light therapy is not a magic pill or a cure, but rather a tool that can be used to alleviate the severity and regularity of symptoms. How close do we hold or place the device to our skin? The optimal distance depends on the specific red light therapy device we have and on the area we're treating. In general, 6 to 12 inches is a good distance to start with, although higher intensity panels are best used at a greater distance. For smaller areas like our face or small target areas, we can use handheld devices a lot closer to our skin. It may also depend on our unique levels of skin sensitivity. So this is yet another reason why starting to use red light therapy with a knowledgeable practitioner can be very helpful. With all red light therapy treatments, it's very important to use eye protection and avoid looking directly at the lights. Many spas and at-home devices include eye coverings for safety. Are there any risks of red light therapy? In general, red light therapy is considered very safe, although there's always some risks for some people, so it's very important to use caution, especially when learning. Eye damage, like we mentioned, is one of the biggest risks, so using protective eyewear when engaging in red light therapy is a must. And knowing our unique skin sensitivity levels is important as well. Prolonged exposure, or especially intense exposure, can result in skin redness, irritation, burns, or increased skin sensitivity, and even increased sensitivity to sunlight. Make sure you follow the advice for your particular device carefully, and that you purchase a reputable and safe device that your healthcare provider suggests as a good fit for your needs. There's so much we're still learning about red light therapy specifics. One thing is clear: It's definitely an interesting complementary therapy for us to consider. My hope today is that we all understand a little about red light therapy and how it can be of benefit for folks like us living with MS. Two, that we consider talking with our doctor or other healthcare professionals about our interest in using red light therapy and what they would recommend for us given our unique needs and risk profiles. And three, that we remember that even though living with MS often means we're experiencing a collection of annoying symptoms all at once, that there are tools like red light therapy to consider that can significantly alleviate the symptoms we experience and drastically improve our overall quality of life. To continue our conversation, you are welcome to attend our Misunderstood Flock meetings via Zoom the first Saturday of each month. That's this coming Saturday. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and to continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be well.